listening to Realism Sports Talk with your host, Terrell Jenkins.
Oh, it is time. It is finally here. Realism Sports Talk episode number 200. Yo, producer, it's 200. We are at 200, baby. 200, and no better platform to do our 200 episode than to promote our every Tuesday reoccurring thing where we promote the Local Talent Tuesdays. So thank y'all for watching on YouTube, Spotify, checking us out on our Facebook page at Realism Pod on Twitter and Realism Sports Talk on TikTok. Loving my Commanders. All the love right there for my mama right there. But today, it's a special day because we have the ultimate local talent here from the Berg, Harrison Berg, our ultimate local talent. Go ahead and put him on there. There he is, Mr. Akeem Jordan, former NFL linebacker, former CFL champion, I mean, college national champion, I mean, high school state champion. What more can I say? How you doing today, Mr. Akeem Jordan?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Hey, I'm doing it. Even better now, baby. Even better now. Thank you so much for your time. When we put this platform together with this Local Talent Tuesday, you were the first person that came to our mind. You're a role model in the community, role model in everything you've done. So we appreciate it. I've seen you grow up from a child. I went to school with your older sister, Keish, who's a beast in basketball. Let me tell you something about his sister. Woo-wee. She used to take all the boys on the court and destroy them. Big love for Keisha. I ain't seen Keisha forever, you know. But I hope she's doing well. I hope she's doing well. Hey, Akeem, before we get into it, I just want to let you know on Realism Sports Talk, we talk about sports from Hall of Famers to the local talent to the big time. Hold on. Hey, he's a professional athlete, so we gotta go a little slower for him. I want him to ready, Akeem.
Yep.
We talk about sports from Hall of Famers to the local talent to the
big time storyline.
There we go. It ain't nothing bigger than my guest today, right now. I call him number 56 because that's what he wore with the Eagles and stuff. And plus, it's my autographed football that I got right here from him. Says number 56. I call him number 56. That's my autographed football. Don't look at it, baby. Don't look at it. It's my ball. My ball right there. So thank you so much, man. So let's just jump right into it.
All right.
Yeah, we know all the accolades and everything, and I will get to those anyway. But let's start from the beginning. When did you know that you love sports?
Like you was talking about my big sister, right? So it started early, just watching her play on the court, playing with her, actually. My family's a big sports family. We watch basketball all the time, play football, did anything outdoors that was active.
Nice.
So started real young. Yeah.
She used to beat you up on the court, didn't she?
Oh, until high school. Until high school.
Man body a little bit. I know.
Had to go into it, right?
All right. Mm-hmm. So as you got to high school, when you started realizing, okay, I'm gonna play on the varsity level. I'm all right. You know what I mean? So what was it like to play both sides of the ball?
To be honest, it was just fun. I mean, it was tired. Like, I got tired, obviously, but fun. Just to be on both sides of the ball and on special teams as well. It just felt like I was always in the game. So it was like I took more pride in the wins and the losses because I was on both sides of the ball. So I just gave it my all the time, you know, and had fun with it.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. I know my son would tell me the same thing because he was just like that, never came out the game and everything.
Right.
But you played at Harrisburg High School from 2000-2003. 2001, you were named Virginia Group AA Player of the Year after leading the Blue Streaks to the state championship game and the title. And I seem to remember I was driving home from work in Winchester. I was driving home back to Harrisburg, and I'm listening to it under. Wasn't it snowing that day? Wasn't it snowing?
It was raining.
It was raining or something. Raining.
Yeah, it was like
crazy rain.
Well, like just getting there was crazy. Like the bus ride up there was crazy. Like we'd never been there. We going over this mountain, going to Lynchburg. And by the time you get there, it's all like, I mean, we had like an hour and some change ride. So like getting there, you just like all drained from the rain and everything. So like when you get in there, it wasn't like, you was pumped up for the game, right? So you had to get pumped up because it was like, oh, man, it's raining. Like, we were supposed to come out here and do our thing, you know. But we got it done.
Yeah, that was sweet, man. That was a proud moment. I remember seeing it. And every time I drive by the water tower, I see it over there after the big smile. I'm like, yeah, hey, let's right. Who that guy is, let's go. You know? So you were first team All-State in 2002 as a DB, and you were second team as a running back. So since you're playing offense and defense like that, which one do you like better?
Well,
I see you hammer people, so I mean, I know. Right.
So, I mean, both got his perks, right? Offense, you're trying to score, trying not to get hit, and defense, you're trying to stop them from scoring. And I enjoy defense more, just the reaction part, the hitting, the stopping them from scoring. Like, defense wins championships, so why not be on the defensive part, you know, on the defensive side of the ball?
And boy, does he know something about winning championships, producer. Good Lord, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But so as you kept going, you know, the years after you won the state championship, you still had success. Y'all didn't have the ultimate team success that you did that year. But, I mean, how many times can somebody say they won a state championship? You know what I mean? So, right. But as you continued on, as you got close to your senior year and things like that, did you start thinking about recruiting? Did you have people visit? Did you think you wanted to play college football? Or what was your thought process as you were going along with that?
So in high school, I was still on the fence about basketball and football. Okay. So I didn't know which one I wanted to be like serious in, wanted to continue playing after high school. But I had my first interest my sophomore year from UVA. They sent like a little brochure or something just to say, come check out the school. And since then, that was it. It was like, oh, football's the first one to come through about college. You got to focus on football. I mean, I still played basketball and ran track, but the main focus was on football.
Okay. So since they were first, that was your first choice?
Yeah, if it was basketball, it might have been different. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah.
So was UVA the only school to actually look at you, or you had some behind-the-scenes interactions or different camps that you went to, or how'd that go? Because I know in this area, it seems a little difficult to get people, you know, out there, get their names out there. So that's another reason why this Local Talent Tuesday platform we're trying to put together. But go ahead.
Yeah. So my sophomore year, it was a little slower than other years. But after I got the Escalade, after my sophomore year, I think I was like second team, all region or something, as a sophomore. And then it started picking up my junior year with the recruiting. And then after my junior year, after we won the state title and I got first team votes, then it started dumping in, right? So more teams started sending like, you know, a little brochure, so come check out the school, come take a visit. But UVA was always there, so they was like there from the beginning, and then like Tech started creeping in, and then like the East Coast schools, I think it was like majority of the East Coast schools at first started like just sending like brochures, little letters and whatever. And I took a couple of visits to UVA, and I went over there for a camp. I think it was my junior year. Yeah, I think it was my junior year. I went over there for a camp, and then they like pulled some of the players back that they was like recruiting, and then we had like our own 707. So like I was just trying to go to each college and do that. But at the time, you only could take, I think it was like two official visits. And I already used one of my official visits for UVA. I wasn't thinking, but they like right across the mountain. So I should have just like went over there without using like a official visit, right?
You were hyped about UVA though. They were your first.
Yeah, you know? So I was like, all right, first one, like whatever. But I think we just checked out the campuses of like Georgia Tech and UGA. North Carolina, we went past there just to check out the campus. Now I don't know like official visits or nothing. But then when I came back my junior year into my senior year, that's when it like all changed, you know, like, okay, now I done played with like against, you know, better competition, right? So my senior year, that's when they still did the All-Star game. Like the, so I went down to Hampton, played in the All-Star game, and I was playing with, you know, everyone, like everyone that was playing in that game was already signed to a college, right? So that just opened my eyes of like, oh, okay, this is the competition that I'm gonna be playing against now. Like, it's not just a volley, you know? So then my senior year came, they started asking me about my grades and about the SATs and, you know, the stuff that, you know, like I didn't, I wasn't focused on that yet. You know what I mean? So my junior year, they started asking about the SATs, most of the schools. And then I was like, and when I told them that I didn't take the SATs yet, and I was going into my senior year, you could start to see like some of them fall back because they were just like, all right, we're going to get the people that already took the SATs and already are able to go into school. And they were trying to send me to prep school.
Right, right.
So that was like my senior year. It was like, all right, I might have to go to prep school for a semester until I get, like if I don't get the score I need on the SATs, I had to go to prep school for a semester before I go to college. So that was like the route that we was talking about, and which prep school. And then I took the SATs after signing day.
You took it after signing day.
After signing day, I took the SATs. So then when I got the score I needed, then it was just like, oh, water under the bridge, right? Like, JMU already signed me off of intent. Like, hey, listen, if you don't, you know, get such and such on the SATs, then I'm going to have to take this scholarship back. So it was like, all right, you got to get this score if you want to go to college, right? Or you're going to take the
pressure's on you, baby. Pressure's on you.
So I ended up getting it and went to JMU. And
Hold on. Let me direct the traffic, baby. Come on. Right. I know you're a linebacker, you instincts, and you fly around everywhere. But I want to get all of this out of you, baby, because I got a lot of stuff to talk to you about. But look, that's something for the local talent, for the kids that's going to be watching these segments and everything. Listen to what he just said. No matter how much of a star you are in three different sports, you got to get them grades and get that SAT. Get that stuff done ahead of time. And, you know, we might not think about that ahead of time because we're like, you know, is this really going to be? But it'll creep up on you fast that, hey, you are that good to make it to the next level. So get all your ducks in a row and get that done. You know, that's something I took from what you just said. Definitely. Yeah. But before we end the high school talk, you want to say something else about it?
Yeah, I was going to say start the SATs as soon as you can. Yeah. Like, they don't care how many times you take it, right? They see the growth in it, right? So if you get, I don't know how they score it now, but let's just say it was out of 1,600 like it was before. If you get 1,000, and then you come back and you get 1,100, they'll see the growth, right? So they'll be like, oh, he didn't take it like four times, but it doesn't matter because they'll take your highest score. So start as soon as possible, and then you don't have to worry about it later.
And they see you taking it multiple times because you're trying to get better.
Right.
Because you want to get better, and everybody wants somebody trying to get better, no matter what platform or what career you're trying to do. We always want somebody trying to get better. So that's good. That's good stuff right there. But before we finish with the high school, okay. I'm sure you've heard about things going on. We're gonna have another hot Harrisburg High School. It's not gonna be called Harrisburg High School, but they're splitting it in half. So what's your thoughts about that? You know, my daughter's in sports, you know, she's the cheer captain and whatnot. So it's a lot of different things. Some's gonna go to this school, some's gonna go to that school. What's your thought about that? How they should handle that? First of all, I don't like it being by the highway out there, but anyway, what's your thoughts about that aspect of it?
I think it just shows growth of Harrisburg, right? And it's kind of, to me, I honestly wish they just build a bigger high school and just keep everyone in the same high school because it's a lot of tradition that comes with one of the high schools, right? So one high school is going to be an old high school with a lot of traditions, and then this new high school is new, right? So it's got to build. But I think it would be okay. Like, you know, if we should have a city game. Like, it would be cool to have that city game. Like, you know, if the city against the city, that would be cool to have that city game. But other than that, I think, like, after it's all said and done, that, like, if the football team at Harrisburg and the football team at the new high school would get together at the end of the year and then play the talent around, like an all-star game or something.
That'd
like,
be cool.
Yeah, but, you know, we got to build the program to make sure, you know, everything is okay.
We got to get the numbers because, I mean, it looks like Harrison Murray High is going to get enough numbers right now as right. it is. Yeah, I don't know how they're going to split that up. We're going to have girls out. Not that girls can't play. They don't hate me, girls. I mean, girls, but you know what I'm saying. So, yeah, I thought that was an interesting thing. I wanted to get your take on that because it seems like it's a broad topic, especially every game that I go to, people are talking about, well, I'm going to the new one. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to do. And I'm just like, I hope it doesn't cause a divide between the kids. Because I know growing up, seeing the rec center, it's like four football teams. They're all our teams. We're beating up on each other all the time.
Right.
So I just hate it. I'm glad they changed that aspect of it now where we actually go against different places. So that's good. So that's his high school producer, high school state champion. And not to mention, he's a local talent. And he's also a Hall of Famer at Harrisburg High School. And he's a champion. You
from high school.
Okay.
I was a nobody in high school. And Keem, I can just remember, I see it in my mind walking down towards the weight room and the gym. And he's just got like six people surrounding him. And he's like the tallest one in that room. And I can see it with like seven people. And the one in the middle is like the tall one. And everybody else is just down there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was a big guy.
But he was a humble guy, very humble dude. You know, he could have took his popularity and things of that nature and ran the exact opposite way and never got the accolades that he did and been successful that he was. So that's what the Local Talent Tuesdays platform that we're doing wants to showcase, people like you and the way you conducted and handled yourself in your life. So that's great stuff right there. You know, because it's tough being a kid. I couldn't imagine being a kid, being a star at everything I do, with everybody wanting to gravitate and pull on you and pull on you and pull on you. What do you tell the young people that might be in a situation like that? How do they keep themselves humble and determined to keep going in the positive direction? What would be your biggest take from that?
Well, I didn't look for the praise, honestly.
Right.
I was like, it was most of my boys, right? So it was like, hey, we playing. So, but when it came to a point in time where like I was focused about going to college, then that is all my focus, right? So I'm honing in on going. So like I said before, now I have to get my grades correct, right? Now they want me to put on some weight, or they want me to do this, right? So it's, the focus is different, right? For in between like my career in high school. So at the beginning, I was just playing, right? Like no worries in the world, not thinking about college. Like, hey, you know, a lot of people came through here and never went anywhere. So just, just play. And then when I started getting those letters, I started changing the mindset of like, oh, okay, now like I can go somewhere. So my focus was different, as in like, I wasn't trying to go hang out with the fellas. I wasn't like going chasing all the girls, right? So it would be like, I would be like in the summertime, I'd be running with my older sister. She was in, she just got out of college, I think. So she would still be like working out. She played basketball at JMU. So she'll still be working out and I'll be running with her. So I'll be working out with her all summer. And then when I came back, like my junior year, it showed on the field like, oh, like you've been doing something all summer, right? And then the next year, the same thing. I think a lady my junior year handed me a yoga tape after like one of the football games, like the VHSs. Y'all remember the VHSs, right? She was like, hey, you look like, it was crazy, man. Like she was like, hey, you look a little stiff. Don't take it the wrong way. You look a little stiff out there. And she was like, I got this yoga tape, handed me this VHS like after a game. And that changed everything, right? I was in there doing yoga then, and I was like, oh, like, can't remember who the woman was. It was like an angel kind of, like, oh, like, this is to go to the next level, right? Like, I don't know who the lady is to this day.
That's
it was
crazy. Like,
yeah.
Because you see that's prevalent now in professional sports now.
Right, yeah.
Yoga, stuff like that. That's crazy. Back in your, that is crazy, isn't it? Dang, that's crazy. Wow. Well you had a great high school career. We appreciate what you talked about high school, but now let's get to that next level you talk about, because you decided to go to JMU. Mm-hmm. JMU, not only did you go there, you won a national championship in 2004, two-time All-CAA from 2005 to 2006, and you were the defensive player of the year. Defensive player of the year. I mean, what is going on? This guy's doing everything. Third in the Dudley Award. you know what I'm saying? You were named to the coaches All-American team in 2006, second in the voting for best defensive player in the Division I FCS. I mean, Virginia Defensive Player of the Year the following season as well. Whoa, my mouth is tired just talking about all that. But as you were at JMU, what was the biggest difference when you first went to JMU than you, that you took from high school to getting to that next level? What was the biggest difference?
Well, everyone is – from high school there, everyone is like, you know, like the all states. They you got your first team all states. Like everyone is that, right? It's not like someone that's on, out there that's not like a first team or a second team. Like everyone is good out there, right? So my from high school to college, it was just like, wow, like actually you're a big guy and you could keep up with me. Like you could actually run. Like these are different type of athletes, right? Yay. So like usually people will say the game is faster. I wouldn't for a time period it was faster just because I just it was just in a new system and didn't know. But after you get acclimated with the system, then it slows down. So then like now it's not about who's the best talently, but like technically. Who's the best?
Okay. That's interesting because every time you know you listen to the NFL and they're like rookies coming in, they're like, man, the game just seems so fast. I always thought about it as they might have been a little better than you. It was that fast. But you're saying just learning the scheme, learning the systems of things is what makes it slow because you're not – it's not nature for you. It's not – you haven't done it a bunch of times. Okay, that's interesting. I never thought about it that way. Okay. So winning that national championship with JMU, how'd that feel compared to your state championship?
Oh, wow. So state championship, I like to tell people like this. My state championship, I was playing both sides of the ball, right? So I was touching the ball 80% of the time in high school. And when I went to college, I'm not touching the ball, right? I'm just playing defense. But that year, that was a crazy year for me, be honest with you. My freshman year, I didn't redshirt, so I was just playing special teams. And then my sophomore year, they came in and switched our defense. So when they switched our defense, everyone had to learn it at the same time. So this is not like seniors that's been in the system for a long time. So this gave me the competitive edge, right? Like now we all are starting from, you know, ground zero, right?
Right.
Like everybody, because we're learning this new defense. So by the time, I think spring ball, at spring ball my sophomore year, going into my sophomore year, so it was my freshman year, going into my sophomore year, I was starting in spring ball. And then, like, in the spring ball, like, I guess they looked at it. I don't know what the coaches did, but they sat me down and they told me, they was like, hey, you look like we're going to put this guy in front of you because you look like you don't want it. And I'm right. And I was like, wow, like, me?
That's humbling, ain't it? Is that humbling?
Right. And I'm like, how do I look like I don't want, like I'm doing everything correctly, right? So that just gave me some motivation for that year. That's the year we won a championship. So the guy they put in front of me, he was good too. So I'm not saying that he wasn't good. I'm just saying that like how they switched us was just like some technical because he was like a senior and I'm a, you know, like he's an upcoming senior, I'm upcoming sophomore. So it's like, you know, the politics, you playing them type of politics, right?
On paper, he's a senior, so.
right. So that year, I ain't gonna say, like for as much as I was playing, I had decent production. So I wouldn't get in all the time, but when I got in, I was getting fumbles, interceptions, block, punts. So I was very productive when I was getting in, but I just wasn't getting in as much. And I would just keep getting that same talk after each game, right? Like, oh, we need to get you on the field more. We need to get you on the field more, right? And I'm like, hey, put me out there. Like,
yeah, you know, stop talking
about it. Yeah, stop talking. Right. So that year we were just back and forth. Like, you know, like I'll go in for a series or two, and then I'll come out and then I'll go back in. So like I was getting a good play, and then they made a package on defense that I was on the field. So that led all the way until the championship. But yeah, it was crazy because it was just it was different. just because you was in college, right? Like the state championship, you going home, right? Like in high school, you going home with your family, you know, all that. Yeah. But like in college, it's like you hanging out with your boys, right? Like,
yeah.
And it's like, oh man, it was different because we went to Tennessee like a week before, so we was having practice there, and it was just like a new experience. Like we was going for the championship, so like I felt like I've been in that situation before. But this one just magnified a little bit more because it wasn't just like, you know, your Virginia. It wasn't just Virginia, right?
I was out of door.
Right? Yeah.
So we, cool. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we actually pulled it out, and then really can't tell you about that night, but it was a crazy night, you know.
We don't need to hear about that night. We got kids watching them. Yeah. They trying to get to that level first.
Yeah, that's right.
So as you kept going on, and you know, the coaches are telling you this and this, all that's doing is making you more hungry and hungry. They knew what you was gonna do. Because the next 2 years, you did what you did. I mean, you had awards after awards after awards. When did it get to that point where you were like, I might could possibly make it to the next level, you know, in some capacity, NFL, whatever, anywhere. When did that start creeping into your mind? Did you get visits? Did somebody mention it to you? Like, were you hearing rumblings, or, you know, what was your take on that?
So my junior year, I think it might have been junior year going to senior year, or sophomore year going. I went to go see. I think it was junior year going to senior year. I went to the Redskins when it was the Redskins. I went to the Redskins training camp, and. That's when like LeVar Arrington, Sean Taylor, all of them was there, right? So so I'm like watching them practice, right? And I'm like, I'm there differently. Like, you know, I'm not there as a fan. I'm actually there, like trying to watch like how y'all do it. Like, how do y'all practice? Right. Like, this is the next step, right? So like how, like, and what I have to do. So like I was just there watching, and I was watching Sean Taylor, right? Just watching his mannerisms. Wow. Like, I mean, because he's a big name, right? So it's like, what does he do in practice, right? And the guy ran all day in practice. Like, he ran and touched the ball every single time. Like, the ball. This is practice, right? So I'm like, if he's doing it, I gotta do it. Like, this is how you practice, right? So I came back with a different mentality now. I'm like, oh, okay, I seen it. Like, yeah, I could be out here. Like, it wasn't that fast. It wasn't like, oh my God, y'all moving like super fast. I was like, oh yeah, like this could be me, right? So I got back, and then like the focus was like honed in, right? Like, no more like partying, no more like, it was crazy, right?
Yeah.
And it was just like focus in on the football. Because if this is what you want to do, this is what you got to do. So then, I don't know if you know Tony Booth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I linked up with him, my senior year, and because he played in Carolina, so he was just telling me all the stuff that I needed to do, like drills, like treadmill work, like pretty much everything that. Like how a professional player does it. So when he was just like teaching, we was up in like 5 a.m. doing this, right?
Wow. And
yeah. And it was his decision, right? Like, you're going to get up at 5, right?
No, it was your decision. That's your decision. That's your decision. I mean, it ain't his decision, because you decided not to go out partying the night before because you knew you had to get up at 5 o'clock because you wanted to get that craft in.
That's right. Dope. But like, what I'm saying is like, he set that time to make sure that I wanted it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, 5, you got to want it if you want to be there at 5 a.m. You know what I mean? So I was getting there and just working out. He was just helping me work out. And then also my senior year, it was a few guys. One was one of my good friends. His name's Corey Davis. He was getting looked at from the league. So, like, you have, like, scouts coming to practice and stuff, right? So you start hearing this, like, oh, scouts is coming to practice? So I was talking to my mentor, and he was just like, the scouts have eyes, right? Like, if you dare and you balling, they gonna see you.
They gonna see you.
So I just took it like that, right? Like, dang, like I was telling him, I was like, man, like, scouts is coming to see my other boys. I'm doing this, and like, I'm like, you know, structure. And he's like, man, just keep doing what you're doing. They'll see you. They'll see you, right? And just from that talk, I just kept doing it, just kept being consistent. And then next thing you know, they was coming in. Not only to see them, but I was in the mix as well.
That's awesome. And so for the Local Talent Tuesday kids watching this show, listen to everything he's saying. Sometimes you got to give up what everybody else is doing for the bigger goal of what you want to do. I mean, I couldn't imagine. I know that's so tough. And now you're in college. So it's even everything that you were talking about in high school is elevated so much more in your face in college. And you got to give up. You had to give up so much more and continue your academics to get to where you're going. So, I mean, if you want it, you gotta dedicate yourself to it. Man, that's crazy listening to the details that you're putting with this. I hope the kids watching this will understand what it's going to take to get there. That's crazy. So as we're going, as you're, you know, about to graduate, draft day is always a day. Draft day is coming around. You know, I don't know what your thought process was with drafting. I mean, what is it, 7 rounds in the NFL? So you're like, well, maybe I got a shot. Maybe I don't. I got these accolades. I know it's FCS school at the time. But, you know, so what was your thought process about that? Did you have an agent then, or did you have somebody in your ear to help you with that process? Or how did that go about?
So I did get an agent in the spring. After the last game, then you could pick up I don't know how it is now, but you had to wait till the last game before you can sign an agent. So soon as like I was just hanging out, got some calls from some people they're trying to be the agent, and I was just like, I'm not really feeling you, like, you know. And then this one guy came and was like, hey, like, you know, we met face to face, had dinner, then I signed him. So then after I signed him, I'm just chilling, like working out, like, and he's supposed to be doing all the, you know, the politicking for me. And so I'm working out here, like my boy Corey, he went away to work out. My boy Alvin Banks, he went away to work out. Like all these guys going away to work out. And I'm like, oh, like I'm talking to my agent, like, why you ain't sending me nowhere, right? Like, he's like, hey, like, listen, I can't send you somewhere, but you're going to have to pay me back regardless of if you make it or not. And I was like, all right, nah, we got weights here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not about to go into debt with you.
That's smart.
Yeah. Right. So I was working out here, and like my other teammate, Kevin Winston, he came down in the locker room, the weight room, and I was working out. He was like, hey, yo, you need to go upstairs and sign with these people because they're giving out $5,000 signing bonus to play in Canada, right?
Oh, so, wow.
So, you know, like, you in college. Back then, $5,000 a lot. And then they telling you, they about to give you $45 on top of that. I'm like, yo, man, you shouldn't have seen me. I'll throw them weights up on the rack. Ran upstairs, right? Like, I gotta get this money. I go up there and I'm talking to the dude. His name is Pop, right? And he's gonna come up later. But Pop, I'm talking to him, I'm rapping to him, and he's like, oh, like, you did 23 guy? And I'm like, yeah, that's me. Like, what's up? Can we, you know what I'm saying? What about this money, right? So he's like, he told me, like, straight up, he's like, nah, like, it's different up there. Like, they could like sign rights to Americans. So like if a team sees you up there and they be like, oh, I like this guy, they put you on the list, and then other team in Canada could get you. You see what I'm saying?
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Well, he's telling me this. He's like, oh, he was with Montreal at first. So he was like, I'm with Montreal, but Calgary owns the rights to you. Like if you would come up to Canada to play. And I was like, yo, that's kind of crazy. Like y'all get to do that. And I don't even know about it.
Right.
And he was like,
you don't get nothing out of that.
Nah,
they just claimed you ain't even know.
So then, right. So then he was like, yo, as I'm watching this tape, like you shouldn't even worry about the CFL. Like, take your shot in the NFL first, and if that doesn't work out, then come to the CFL. So like after hearing that, I was like, all right, well, woof, like I was kind of upset because I didn't get that money, and all my boys is getting the money, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, all right. So then draft day comes, right? And I'm working out, I'm diligent. We did the pro day. And draft day comes, and I'm just like, like not thinking about hearing my name called, right? So me and my boys that was working out, we all watching it, just waiting for our names to be called. So then around the sixth round, I get some calls. I'm like, you know, like, what's this, right? So, you know, your phone rings, a out-of-state number. You like, oh, yeah, like, it's going down, right? But so we was in talks. I was in talks with the Lions, I think Miami and Philly. And so the Lions was going to draft me as Mr. Irrelevant, but they went with a quarterback.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so I mean, I was like hyped, like, oh, I'm about to see my name go across. Like, I don't care if I'm the last or the first, it doesn't even matter, right?
Yeah,
but then they didn't, so they called me and it was like, oh, we're gonna go with this guy. I think it was a cornerback, sorry, it wasn't a quarterback, it was a cornerback. And he was like, they're gonna go with this guy. I ended up playing with him, which is crazy, but they said, I'm gonna go with this guy, and I was like, all right, like, cool, so like, what's next? And they was like, oh, we're gonna get you out here free agents. So I was like, all right, like, and they was like, oh, I'm gonna give you this much money. So I was like, all right, bet, like, I'm there. You already know I'm there. So,
was it more than what you, the CFL was gonna give you?
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm already there. You're right, I'm already there. So my agent, I call my agent, like, hey, yo, are they calling you or are they just calling me? Cause you know what I'm saying? I'm about to make a deal already because they talk to me. So he was like, oh, just give it a second. Like, wait till the other teams, you know, start coming in. So then it was between, it narrowed down to between Detroit and the Eagles. So I'm like, I'm telling my agent, if they match that money that Detroit was going to give me, I'm there. Like, tonight, it's 4 hours away. Like, I'm there tonight. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. So,
you know, the Philly hung up. They called me back and was like, yep, we're going to match. I was like, that's a no-brainer, right? Like, all the people that's there, like, I watched Brian Dawkins since I was
little. Oh, my God, yes.
Since I was little, so it was like, oh, bam, I'm there. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to see this guy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even care if I don't make the team. I'm going to see this guy because I watched him since I was little, right?
You care about to get that money first, though, seeing him.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So at least come back with that. But, yeah, so then I signed with them. And then that period in time between, like, April and May, because May is like – the OTAs, that was like a nervous time, right? Because it's like, yeah, you own a team, but you're not really on a team.
Okay, but let me pause you now. Yeah. Let me pause you.
All right.
Because I'm going to throw something in right between that because you're going to go right down my alleyway right where I'm going. So all you were undrafted, signed with the Eagles, cool. But then you played every preseason game.
For that year or like the years afterwards? That year,
you played that year.
Yeah.
And you led the team in tackles.
Yeah.
Now say what you were saying about whether you want a team or not on a team. Go ahead.
So it was just that first year, that preseason was just crazy, right? Because it's like, yo, you have to make a name for yourself. Like, you have to stand out from all. Like, me at that time, I don't think people realize I was like number 3 or 4 on the depth chart.
Wow, like, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, Tequila Spice had just got there. They just gave him that big money, right? And then now it's me coming in, like, as an undrafted free agent. Like, oh, we know who's leaving, right? If someone had they had to choose, right? So I'm like, oh, okay, well, I know I can't beat him out because he has all the money, right? So I'm like, all right, well.
He's like, Detroit. Is Detroit still on the phone? Detroit.
Right. Like, hey. So during that training camp, you know, it was just – getting used to like the new defense because it was Jimmy Johnson's defense. So he's a blitzer, but you got to know where you at. You got to know where people and everything's moving. So that was a little hectic for me at first. And then as soon as I got it, I was like, all right, like the first preseason game, we played like a quarter. Cause I was like, I told you I was like third and fourth string. So I only played like a quarter. Second one, we played like a half. The third one, we played a little less because, The starters played, and then that last preseason game, you played the entire game, and I have never been so tired.
Oh, real?
Oh my gosh! Like, cause you got to play. Like I told you, I was number 3 or 4, so I had to play special teams and defense, like all the special teams. And it's August, right? So it's like 70, 80 degrees out, yeah. Right? You got to run down on kickoff, and then go to defense. Play three downs of defense if you stop them, and then go to punt return. And then hope that the offense doesn't get a three and out because you have to go back out there on punt.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So it was like it never ended. Like at the end of the game, I didn't care if they cut me or what. I just wanted to lay down and get some water. I was like, I don't even care. Give me some water and just let me be. I went straight to sleep after that game.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Dang.
But it was like crazy because the Knicks, like I think it was that weekend, they make all the cuts. And
you made the final cut. You made the final cut.
Yeah, so I didn't get that. What? And then, see, you know, it's a business part. So I made the final cuts because they wanted me to stay there. But then they put me on practice squad.
Right.
After everyone else solidified their roster, they released me and put me on practice squad. Because when they release you, they can't do nothing with you for 24 hours. But see, they make a thing like, hey, listen, we're going to release you. But we're releasing you to sign back so you can be here. Because once they release you, like, you go anywhere, right?
Right.
So they're like, hey, listen, we waited until, like, this point in time where everyone is, like, not worried about who's getting released now to release you so we can sign you back. So it's a funny story because, yeah, they cut me. And I told my mom, I'm like, hey, mom, I'm coming home. They want me to be the practice dummy. I ain't nobody's practice dummy.
Go ahead and tell us you were crying. Go ahead.
I went crying.
You ain't crying? I'd have been crying.
No, I was upset. I was upset, though. Like, I mean, that's like the first time I've been cut. I mean, not the first time, but it's like I ain't been cut since middle school. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it was like, oh, man, like, I got cut. But then it's like, I was more upset that I got cut just to practice. You see what I'm saying? And I was like, I wasn't looking at it as a developmental thing. I was looking at it as like, oh, I wasn't going to play, right? So you got to think, I came from James Madison, which we ran like nickel all the time. So I didn't even know like 4-3. I wasn't a 4-3 linebacker. You know what I'm saying? I was just a nickel linebacker at first. You see what I'm saying? So I had to learn all that. So they was working on me. They was working with me to develop me, right?
Yeah.
And during that time, I'm on practice squad. Like, at first, I'm like, all right, like, I'm enthused about it, right? Because I'm still there. And about a week, like, two or three, after like two games, I'm like, nah, I'm over it. Like, I want to play. Like, y'all out there not doing what y'all doing in practice. Like, nah, I got to get out there. And one of the coaches came up to me. He was an offensive line coach. And he was just like, hey, listen, like, we watching you. Like, because you on practice squad doesn't mean that we're not watching you. Like,
right.
You can see that you dropping off. Like, you have to keep your level up because when your number gets called, you have to be ready.
That's right.
So, like, he used to work with me and his, like, I used to work out with his lineman after practice. I hated that, though. But it made me, like, technically better. But he used to be, like, he didn't even call me Akeem, right? He didn't know my name for, like, I say about 3 months, all right? He was calling me Joaquin, right? Joaquin. Killer.
So you ain't like, say nothing, right, did you? You ain't say nothing.
I ain't say nothing. You know what I mean? I'm up here. So, I'm like, you don't know who I am, but I'm going to come, right?
Yeah.
Because he was screaming at first, and then I didn't know because it's not my name. So, like,
right.
He was like, I was calling you. I was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, oh, I didn't hear you. You know what I'm saying? So then I heard him say Joaquin, and I was like, oh, that's why I didn't hear you because that's not my name. But for 3 months, I let him call me that. But, then I'm working my way up, and then I get a call from my agent saying that, hey, Kansas City wants you to come out there and play. So I'm like, say less. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Packed up my bags, got on the next flight. This was like a Saturday, right? Because the Eagles were playing an away game, so they already flew. They already was gone. So I'm like, all right, say less. Like, I don't have no one to talk to be like, hey, listen, because y'all about to give me some money that I ain't never seen before.
You couldn't get that money.
Right. So I'm like, I'm on the I'm on the plane. I get on the plane. I'm in Atlanta. So as soon as I land in Atlanta, in a layover, I get a phone call from the GM at the Eagles. Like, hey, listen, we heard about like Kansas City and whatever. Like, don't sign with them. We're gonna bring you up next week.
Oh, like, nice.
Right. So I'm like, are you sure? Cause I'm talking to my agent. Like, yo, I don't know. Are they bluffing? Because if they bluffing, like, I need to go over here to Kansas City. Hey. Right. Anyways, he was like, no, they're not bluffing. You can go back. Like, it's your choice now. Do you want to stay? Or do you? I was like, listen, I'm going back. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I already just learned. Like, it's like 6-7 weeks in, right? So I'm like, I already just learned this new defense. Like, I'm ready to play, right? So I get back the next day or that Monday. I go in there, sign to the roster. And then after that, I was like, hey, listen, you know, it was nervous because now it's like, oh, now I got to show my worth now. And after that first game, the rest was history, you know. Got the little nervous butterflies out, and then it was just became fun.
Yeah, I think it was October 29th when this all happened, when you got called up.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was. And then you had your first NFL start, Week 17, 2007 versus the Bills. Uh-huh. And why? Because Tekeo Spikes went on IR. And for people that don't know, youngsters that are watching, Tekeo Spikes was a man. Right. This guy was a savage. You know what I'm saying? So for you to go replace him is saying is a testament to you, because not only did you start, you had 14 tackles in the game. Yeah. 14 tackles in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, you must have had a whole lot of bent up frustration ready to get out there and do something.
Hey, I'm trying to show, you know, you get your opportunity, you can't waste it, you know.
Yeah, man. And then so the next that year, was against go ahead.
That was against the young Marshawn Lynch, too.
Oh,
yeah. He was with the Bills.
Marshawn Lynch with the Bills, yeah. Now, you probably got so many stories. I'd love to just hear all his stories. Yeah. Talk to different people he played with. But so then the next year, they made you a backup. But then in week 12 was the Ravens, you replaced Omar Gather, led the team in tackles again that game. So it seems like every time they try to put you down, when you come back in, you show out. It seems like everywhere, every stop you've made, you've done these things. Then you would have started for the rest of the season. So the next week you played the Cardinals. That was on Thanksgiving night. What was it like playing on Thanksgiving night?
I think that was my first time actually playing on Thanksgiving. And it was cool because my family came up, and I think they had the food ready because it was a night game. But they had the food ready because we couldn't eat the food because we had a pregame, whatever. So they had the food ready and everything, and then they came to the game. But that game in particular was just nutty, right? Like, we beat them like 56 to like 7 or something. It was just like crazy unbelievable, right? It was just like everything was just working. Like we just throw the ball up and it'd be a touchdown. It was just crazy.
That is crazy.
But yeah, that was my first like night game that I was a starter on like the big show. Like,
that's right.
Everybody's watching, you know.
Maybe that was the game that I'm referring to. That might be that's probably the game that I'm thinking about then.
Uh-huh.
That's probably the game I'm thinking about. Because you had your first career fumble that game too. Fumble recovery that game. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I tell you, like, everything was just working that way, and the ball was just coming back to us.
And the ball was coming back to you the next year, because in 2009, the first two games of the year, you had an interception in each game.
Yeah. I mean,
you just always making plays when you're on the field. So, in week 9, unfortunately, you got injured against the team where you had your debut, the Cowboys.
Right.
And you were rotating with Jeremiah Trotter. And again, youngsters, if you don't know who Jeremiah Trotter is, look it up. This is another. And you're in the same company with these names. I mean, that is just amazing to me. And I mean, I look at them guys, and I see them on TV. I see them talking, doing interviews and stuff, and they're just still just whatever. And talking to you, you're like opposite. You're like so humble. You're hungry. I feel like you still look like you want to go out there and do something to somebody. Reminiscing and stuff. You like, yo, I remember.
Yeah, right.
That never comes out of you when you have it in you like that, I guess. Nah. So.
But yeah, so, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to get to those two guys, Tekeo and Jeremiah, right? Because I left this out, like my rookie year, those two guys, they seen something on the film. that made them say, like, hey, after everyone leaves at night, because our meetings ended at like 9:30. So mind you, we was getting up at like 6:30, practice was at 7. You had meetings and practice all day during camp. And then that last meeting ended around like 8:30, 9 o'clock-ish, right? And they'll be like, they call me Dream. So they'll be like, hey, Dream, nah, come have a seat. Where you going? And I'm like, yo, the meeting over with. Like, you know, the meeting over with, Big Dog. Like, nah, it's time for me to go to sleep. Like, we got to wake up here. It's about 3 hours, it feel like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They like, nah, you don't get that luxury. Like, you said, you see us in here? You said, you see us in here? And we best. They was probably like 10 years in then. Like, close to 10. They was like, you see us in here? He was like, nah, you come sit down. So it'll be me, him, and Taquillo in there on every night. And they'll just be like, hey, listen, you see right here? This is where you want to put your foot. So they was teaching me all that technical little itty-bitty stuff that, like, the coach was skipping over because I was number four, right? I was fourth on that thing. But they was like, oh, nah, this guy can play, right? So they like, oh, like, look, right here, this is where you step this way, do this. So they was teaching me, like as a youngin'. And I was like, oh, wow, like, this is about to be incredible. Like, I get to play with y'all. And y'all, like, big bros to me, you know what I mean, already. Hey.
Yo, local talent kids that's going to be on the show that are paying attention to this. Listen to what he's saying. These guys that are 10-year veterans that have a name already established for themselves will never take those 5 minutes of time for somebody that they don't think that wants it or can have it. So that just shows you, if you're putting in that work and putting in that effort and doing the things you're supposed to do, you will get that respect and everything from the bigger people. And look what, how successful you became because of it. You had great mentorship with all these different players.
That's right.
You had to have that demeanor to do that, though. You know what I mean? They're not going to just give that to you. So you had to put in that work to do it. Work is work. That's what it is. So now let's get to the Eagles in real life right now. The Eagles this past year. Is that your team now? Eagles your team?
See, I'm like partial, right? I spend most of my time.
You're going to say Kansas City, I know, because of Andy Reid. Go ahead.
Yeah, so like, like in the NFC – I'm rooting for Philly. In the AFC, I'm gonna root for the Chiefs. If they play each other, let the best team win.
What'd you do last year?
Let the best team win, right? Like, I couldn't lose, right?
You could lose.
If the Eagles won, I felt good. The Chiefs won, I felt good, you know?
So what was the problem with the Eagles this year? What was it? Injuries with Hurts? What was it? Chemistry? They almost fired the coach. I'm sitting here like, what in the world's going on?
I don't know. Like, they started off, like, I guess about 3/4 of the way, they was real hot. And then I don't know what happened. Like, honestly, you have to be in the locker room, like, to get a sense of what happened. Because, like, from looking from the outside in, I can only tell you, like, hey, man, there's something going on in there. Like, in the locker room, somebody must have had, like, they bump heads. The chemistry is just not there. Excuse me. This chemistry is not there anymore, you know? And I was like, wow, how? Especially in that city. Like, that's like a city when you get going, you just stay rolling.
I heard that. Well, look, the producer's telling me I'm already at 53 minutes or whatever. Look, I told you, I got so much I can talk to about you. This is great. So I'm gonna kind of skip over Washington, even though that's my squad. Unless you got something awesome that you want to say about your time there. Like, he said no, producer. Oh man,
no, it was short. I was put on IR.
Yeah, you were put on IR, right?
Yeah, so it was like a short little stint. You know?
But I know I was excited. I was like, oh, Kings play.
That was a big time for us.
Yeah, that was big time for us because we were both Washington fans. So we were like, oh, Kings play our team. Yeah, let's go. We were excited. I remember I went to a game to see you play, but I think you were hurt, matter of fact. But so before we get to the Chiefs, because I know that's a big, emotional kind of, I don't know the word I want to use because I don't know the connection you have with Andy Reid, but I'm going to save that for last, especially since they're in the Super Bowl. But when you took those 2 years off from the Redskins when you hurt to go to play in the CFL, what would you take those 2 years off for? Were you retiring or were you?
See, I just hurt my knee in Washington, and they was trying to push me back like super quick, right? And I was like, hey, listen, like, I'm not that kind of guy that if I can't go, I won't go. But I'm not going to go out there and playing against these these people in this type of caliber and I'm not at 100% or somewhere close, right? Like, I'm just not going to do it. And I came back out and, well, I got hurt in the preseason, came back out like week two, and then a guy fell on my knee again. So then I'm out again. And then they was trying to rush me back. And I'm like, listen, we're going to keep doing this or we're just going to let it heal, you know? And then they put me on IR so I could let it heal. And then they released me. So then when they released me, I had got some calls from some other teams. But I was like, hey, listen, I really want to let my knee heal. Like, this is like the first time, or not the first time, but this is like one of the times that, like, it was like a slow process of healing, right? Because it was just like, I think an MCL strain, but it was like loose. So my knee just kept gapping. So I'm like, I don't like that feeling, and I don't want to wear a brace. Right. So if I have to wear a brace, I'm not going to play. So then after that, I had a couple teams call me, and I was like, hey, I just want to let it chill. But not knowing that, like, you know, the NFL is now or could be never. So after sitting out for that, before the free agency started, so when free agency started, like, I still wasn't ready to go back. And then after that ended, that's when the draft comes, and then I missed out on the next year. And then when I missed out on the next year, I was like, all right, man, like, I think I'm just going to hang it up. But then I started working out again, and I was like, oh, no, I still got it. So I called my agent, and I'm like, hey, listen, I'm going to start working out, whatever. Just let me know, like, see what you could do. So he was like, hey, man, you may have to go to Canada first before you come back down here just to get back into football condition. And I was like, all right, cool. So then it's probably like a month or two later, he called me and was like, hey, listen, you have Toronto wants to bring you up there for a workout. And I'm like, ah, so now, you know, the heart's pumping again. Like, oh, no. Like, I asked for it. Now it's here, right? Am I ready? So I went up there. I went up there. And, man, listen, I worked out. And it was like, all right, like, you staying. Like, we want you here. So I was like, all right, bet. Like, thank you for, like, let me play again, right? So I went up there. And I was just, like, hanging out, like, because the defensive coordinator was just like, you're not going to play until the playoffs because you don't even know, like, the system. You don't know the game. You don't know nothing. Like, just be here and just stay, like, up to date. So I'm like, all right, cool. Like,
and get paid.
Pay less, right? Then I think it was, like, I was up there probably maybe 2 weeks. And I say maybe 2 weeks. I was up there 2 weeks, and he was like, hey, yo, listen, we need you to play. You starting. I was like, yo, what? What? I thought you said the playoffs, right? So now, like, I'm like, oh, like, I'm getting it, but I don't know if I got it to be out there. Because, like I said, these are professional players.
Right.
So just imagine, like, all the cats that couldn't, that didn't make it into the NFL just flocked to the CFL, right?
So it's not like they're that much worse. I mean, you got to be up here. So if they like right here, you know what I mean?
Right. So I'm like, all right. Then I studying or whatever. And I studied with the defensive coordinator. And then the next game I started, and the dude in front of me, he had like hurt his shoulder or something, right? He's like an all-star up there. He's one of my good friends. He was like an all-star. He hurt his shoulder. And I'm like, all right, like, listen, you know, when I get in there, you might not get it back.
Like, job's done. You know,
might not. But I went in there first game. I had like 14, 15 tackles. And like the next week, you see him. He's like, no, I'm good. Like, coach, put me in the sling. Like, you know. But like I said, he was an all-star up there. That's like making a Pro Bowl. So like he was like a Pro Bowler up there, right?
Right.
So, like, when he came back, he just got a spot. And I went mad because I was like, yo, I still really don't even, like, I'm up here. It's less than a month that I've been up there, like, in the new game.
Real quick, let me stop you real quick again because we got 30 seconds left for Spotify. Hey, thank y'all for watching our 200th episode, listening to our 200th episode for our Local Talent Tuesdays. Former linebacker Akeem Jordan, Local Talent, Hall of Famer, all of that above. If you want to catch the rest of the interview, check us out on our YouTube channel. Thank y'all. Appreciate it. All right, we back at it. We go ahead and finish what you're doing, baby. Okay. Live back on YouTube.
All right, yeah. So he came back, and after he came back, I was just like he's like, I'm like, I'm not mad. Like, people's like, I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, because I really don't know. Like I'm just picking up on the game, right? Because there's a lot of things that's different between this game and their game. And when he came back, I was just watching. So then, like, you could just see that the competition level has raised up. I'm not saying I brought it there, but now everyone's not chilling, right? Everyone's on edge, right? Like,
yeah,
we on edge because if I slip up, this guy behind me could take my spot.
That's you right. Right.
So then, like, that now our room started getting more like that, right? Like, we wouldn't, like, not telling each other stuff, but we just pushed each other. And one thing led to another. Next thing you know, we in the playoffs. Next thing you know, we in the championship, or they call it the great cup.
We the 105th great cup, baby. Woo!
That's right. Yeah. And that was one of the coldest, funnest games ever. That's when it was snowing.
Oh, it, man.
Yeah. Like,
so snow. What was that experience like? I mean, you're a state champion. You're young. You're the big man on in the high school realm. Then you go to college. You're a big man on the college campus. Now you win a professional championship. What was that like?
Oh, man. So that the difference in levels is different, right? So it's not. So high school, you just showed up. You got to the high school. Everybody rode the bus, went to the game, right, on the day of. College, you went down a week, whatever. In the CFO, you went to, like, I think it was Montreal that we played in. So we went to Montreal like a week and a half before, and then it's like all this more press stuff, right? So, like,
oh, yeah,
more press. It's just like in the NFL, right? You got that press. You got all this free time, and it's like, yo, can you focus in for this week, right? Because you have free time, you in a new city, and you just like trying to do whatever, right? And like after the game, it was like unbelievable. Like that game was unbelievable. Like we won, the guy threw a Hail Mary, and the guy on my team intercepted it, right? Like one of like the last seconds.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Oh, so I watched that, it was crazy.
After that, that game that night, you know, everybody went out partying, whatever. And then we went back to Toronto. And then, like, in Toronto, I had got they had a parade for us, right? Because you have to think that the CFL is not as big as the NFL down here. Like, they like hockey, baseball.
Yeah.
Like, that's their sports up there, right? So you can tell the difference in between the CFL and the other major sports up there. But the parade was nice. They had it all out there. And we was just – it was just, like, crazy because it was like, yo, again, like, right, again. Like, but now I'm in Toronto, and it's, like, crazy because you're seeing the tower, the CN Tower. It's like, yo, it is crazy. And I think that's, like, the next year Toronto won the basketball championship. It was, like, nutty. Okay. It was just, like – thing after, you know, back after back in the city just kept getting crazier. And I was like, I see what Drake is talking about up here, you know?
That's crazy. That is so exciting, man. That's so exciting. So let's dial back to after you left the Eagles. And this will be the final topic I get to with you because I don't want to hold you up all day. Appreciate your time, definitely. But the Chiefs, you know, Andy Reid was the Chiefs. I mean, was the Eagles head coach. Successful for so many years, so many talented players that I'm sure you played with and probably have tons of stories about. But the head coach, you and the head coach had to have some kind of relationship because he called you over there, didn't he? Didn't he want you to over there? How'd that work out?
So he left, I think 2012 after that year. He went out there and, like, from the beginning, from my rookie year, like, he after that year, he pulled me into the room after, like, the exit meeting, because usually everyone doesn't meet with, like, the coach. He pulled me into the meeting room, and I'm like, oh, man, what he about to say, you know what I'm saying? But he was giving me tips of, like, how to get better as a player, like, overall. Like, so I was like, oh, wow, like, you actually called me in here to give me some advice on how to get better for next year. So he sent me to like Chicago to this training thing up there, and I did that, and then I came back, and then that's when the year that started taking off. So I'm like, oh, like every time, like he would just say like little things to me, like little nuggets. He went in very like upfront, like in your face with it, right? Like he might walk by me and be like, say something to me, like keep your hips down or whatever, and just keep it moving, like no talk, no nothing, like you know what I'm saying? Or he'll be on. I just remember like him on the field just looking at me, just telling me like keep your pad level down, like good play, but keep your pad level, like you know what I'm saying? So like when he went out there, I didn't sign back with the Eagles that off season, and then I went to the Bengals for a visit, and then I went to Tennessee for a visit. And when I was leaving Tennessee, Andy called me on the phone, and he's like, hey, listen, I didn't know you was on the market, pretty much. I didn't know you was out there, because when I was leaving Philly, we was already talking about signing you back to Philly. So I thought they already signed you, but they didn't. Come out here to Kansas City. I'm like, say less, right?
So yeah.
I get there. And when I get there, you know, I'm talking to him. I meet the linebackers coach. I'm talking to Andy. And he's like, hey, listen, you know, this is not the same as Philly. Like, everything's different out here. Like, it's slower. It's not like the fans is not as rowdy. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, ain't nobody like Philly fans. Good Lord. Yeah, like,
Kansas City fans, I'm telling you, that is one of the loudest stadiums. That year I played out there, we was going back and forth with Seattle, the loudest outdoor stadiums. Wow. Like, they are amazing fans, right? Like, they out there at 4:30 in the morning barbecuing. Like,
what?
It is crazy. And it's a 12 o'clock game. They out there at 4:30 barbecuing. Like, come get you a plate. All right. But I go out there, and he's like, hey, listen, I didn't know, whatever, but I want you to sign here. Blase, blase. And I was like, hey, listen, I'm in there. Like, you already know, right?
Hey.
So I signed before I even left. Like, I didn't even talk to my agent about it. You know, like, where's the papers, right? Because I know you, you know me, and we jail, right? Like,
he didn't call you Joaquin, did he?
Nah. that guy left, which is funny. That's one of the, like, one of the coaches that didn't have to help me out, right? So I look at it like I had a lot of help throughout my career, right? Like, this is an offensive line coach that's coming over here to help me. Mm. You see what I'm saying? Like, the defensive back coach used to say things to me like, this is how you get used to, like, being low. Like, he's telling me these things, right? And I'm like, oh, dang, I'm taking all this in. So, like, when Andy went out there, I was like, I know he's going to have a group of people that is people. Like, you know what I'm saying? They're just not here just to coach. They're here like, oh, if I see something with this guy, I'm going to go say something, right? I'm not just going to brush it under the rug, right, because we're trying to get better. So I knew that this is the type of coaches that he's going to have around. So when he asked me to come out there, I was like, yeah. And then, like, he brought some of the coaches out there that I knew, so it was like –
yeah.
It was Philly in Kansas City at first, right? You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. It sounds like I could pick your brain forever just listening to your stories and everything. But like I said, I know it's over an hour. I know you a busy man. But before we get to the end, Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. Your boy Andy Reid is there again. He is there again. Are the Chiefs going to win?
It is going to be a good game. I'm gonna tell you, I'm leaning on them winning, but it's gonna be a good thing. But San Fran, yeah, they're doing well, right? I don't think it's like, you know, if you would have said like the Chiefs and the Jets, I would have went Chiefs all day, right?
Right.
Like, I'm still with the Chiefs all day, but I just know it's gonna be a good game. I think it's gonna be a great game.
So let me ask you one quick question, because I've watched you play. I've watched the games. I love looking at local talent, especially you that made it. And you get picks. You're a ball hawk. You played safety some in Harrisburg too. I mean, you played everywhere a little bit. How would you cover Travis Kelce?
Oh, funny story. I tried when I went out there. To play.
Hold on. You started on the story when I tried.
Yeah. Hey, listen, when he was a rookie, he got hurt. He would put on IR as a rookie. But before he got hurt, he was frying everybody. And he was a little – and he was thinner, right? So he wasn't your typical tight end. But his movement was crazy. Like, no one could guard him. Like, from Eric Berry – sorry, Eric. I don't mean to put you out there like that.
Eric Berry was a star, too.
Hey, he was a stud. No one could guard him, yo. One-on-ones. No one could D him up, yo. It was
This is as a rookie.
He came in there frying everybody. And I was like, yo, I'm going to put my hands on him then. No, sir. He swiped me away. Like, no, sir. I was like, all right. Yeah, you special, right? But he got hurt. So we didn't get to play with him that year. That would have been crazy.
Because you would have put your hands on him, right?
Yeah, right. He'd been okay.
Oh, man. Akeem Jordan, former NFL linebacker, high school Hall of Famer, college Hall of Famer, professional champion. I mean, this guy right here has done it all. Thank you so much for your time. You're an inspiration to a lot of the local talent around here. Your name is synonymous. It comes up, and it just pushes this youth to get better and gravitate in the same direction you are. And I hope this platform with you starting the whole shebang, I hope that just pushes it further and we get more kids to be on the show to say, I remember when Akeem was on the show and now I'm doing the same thing in the professional, right. whatever professional thing they want to do, as long as they're doing something with their life, that's all that we care about on Relevant Sports right. Talk. You know what I'm saying? So thank you so much for your time. So what you doing nowadays? Anything you want to talk about, shout out before you go or anything like that?
Right now we're doing a flag football team. We have a flag football team for 18U. So if you upcoming junior, sophomore, come holler at us. We going around the state. We're playing.
How do they find out your information?
We're linked with True Vision. So it's on my platforms on Facebook, on Instagram. If you look on there, click the link and just hit the number. Come on out. We look for all the talent.
Flag football, guys, and if you're going to learn from the best, you're going to hear from all of his experiences from all the way up and all the different coaches. He had Mark Trestman as his coach in CFL. Did you know that? Yeah. That's crazy. I talked about so many people about that. He interacted and everything else. Oh, man.
Yeah, and that's one of the great coaches. That's a great coach, too. We can talk about him one day.
Akeem, as we keep going with this platform, you are always welcome to ever give any insight, join another show with some guests or whatever. We would always appreciate any kind of thing that you could ever bring to this Local Talent Tuesday platform. And we thank you again for your time and everything else and continued success with your flag football. True Vision, right? True Vision.
Yep.
He's going to put the link in the description, so we'll have that on there. Because on Relevant Sports Talk, we talk about sports from Hall of Famers to the local talent to the big time storyline.
Yeah, yes, we go. All right. I got it. Right.
Thank God.
You're listening to Realism Sports Talk with your host, Terrell Jenkins.